You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, O God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. It is so great to have you joining us today, along with an awesome staff that's already in the studio and ready to go. Karen, welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
It is morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is morning.
It's still morning.
For a little while, yeah.
It is morning, and David is here as well.
I am here. Excited to be here.
Well, we are going to be connecting with our guest that has joined us a few times over the last few months, and probably for a few more weeks, we're going to have Daniel Diaz. Going to be giving him a call and getting him online. Karen has just a little bit of information about an upcoming event, and we want to promote that.
Yes, we do. And this is from the Stuart Aglow and Aglow International. The Southeast North region is hosting a prophetic activation. And this is on Saturday. Let me look at the date. I believe it's January 5th. No, January 17th. Sorry.
Coming right up.
Registration is on the 5th. Yeah, so if you want to... Do you want to learn to recognize and respond to the voice of God and learn all the ways that God speaks? Then you're invited to join them for a time of interactive learning and equipping. I'll have them on my program Friday, so I'll be giving
all right.
more details
oh,
about
really
it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's yeah. coming yeah. right up. Let's see if we have Daniel on the line. Daniel, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can for sure, trying to get you on air as soon as possible, because I know there is a lot going on. And once again, Daniel, welcome to WCNO.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. A lot is going on.
Now, we call you the gold guy, but, you know, that's because you know a lot about gold. But I think our last conversation had to do a lot with silver, didn't it?
It did, and... Silver is kind of going crazy. Gold's going up too, but silver is, I think it's up like maybe $6, $7 since last week.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're gonna jump into some things this morning, Daniel, and I know you have several topics that you're going to bring to us in an awesome way. Want to just start by you giving some contact information, how people can find out more about you and how they can connect. And also, I'd like you just to give a thumbnail of your family. It always strikes me when you talk about how you came to be who you are today and how you ended up getting involved in this whole aspect of, I guess we could say, conservatism, godly conservatism, and also in regards to finance. So tell us a little bit about yourself, but first tell us how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, well, I am the executive director of Citizens for Sound Money, so you can reach out to me via email. It's my first initial and last name, D-D-I-A-Z, at citizens, the number 4, soundmoney.org. D-Diaz at citizensoundmoney.org, or you can call our toll-free number. It's 877-749-1776, 877-749-1776. And if you're in the Indian River, Tri-County area, Brevard, St. Lucie, or anywhere nearby, You can visit our business. It's in Sebastian. You can. It's 1128 U.S. Highway 1 in Sebastian. We just opened up. In fact, I'm in my new coin shop getting ready to open. And you can call us at 954-834-3429, 954-834-3429.
Excellent.
All right. So,
tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I got involved in this whole political thing because of my family. I'm a first-generation Cuban-American, and I was raised hearing stories about how in Cuba, my family had businesses, land, property. They were pretty well off, and then all of a sudden, Fidel Castro came in and stole everything. My grandfather, I don't know if you know this or your audience knows, that in every communist state, there's a communist informant on every block and on every floor in a condominium that reports any violations of the party rules or the law. So my grandfather in 67, he paid a butcher some extra money to get extra rations. Everything was rationed for some extra beef. And the communist informant on the block ratted my grandfather out. My grandfather was arrested. And when he was released from jail, he said to my family, "We got to go right now." So they packed up everything, they got visas, and they went to the Havana airport. And when they arrived at the Havana airport, they confiscated everything except for the clothes on their back. And when they came to Miami, if it wasn't for friends and family already here, my family would have been living on the streets. So my grandfather, having a construction business in Cuba, you know, he started working, saved up some money, got a truck, started his own business. And from the 60s through the 70s, he built that business up from just pouring cement here and there with contractors to building it an entire construction business. He sold that business in the 80s, retired in his 50s, and left my family an inheritance. So I was very appreciative for the opportunity that America provided my family. And I promised myself at the age of 16, I'll never allow what happened to my family's country to happen to my my country. So I've dedicated myself to fighting against socialism, communism, and fighting for freedom in the United States since the age of 16. I've worked on presidential campaigns, down to municipal and everything in between. I run super PACs. And now I'm the exec director of multiple organizations. I'm the executive director of Citizens Without Money, which is a 501c4. A C4, for those that don't know, is a nonprofit that's not tax deductible that primarily advocates for typically issues like ours, sound money. Then we have a 501c3, which is an educational foundation that educates people on the necessity of sound money for a free society and a free economy to exist. And then we just chartered a trade association where we realized when we were lobbying for gold and silver that the gold and silver industry is very underrepresented. So we chartered the Sound Money Trade Association, and we are bringing together the entire industry to fight for sound money. So that is my background, and I enjoy what I'm doing. You know, it doesn't feel like work.
That's great. That's great. Well, I know that many of our listeners are definitely impacted by what is taking place right now in our world. All of us are involved in some level of commerce, regardless of small or large. And so this is of great interest, I know. So why gold and why silver, and why should we have a conversation about this?
Yeah, so I like using Adam Smith, the Wealth of Nations. He's basically the godfather of capitalism. And he defined money with three characteristics. The first characteristic of money is a medium of exchange. Anything can be a medium of exchange, a dog, a cat, a hat, a pen, a dollar. There's nothing special about that. And similarly with the second characteristic of money, a unit of account. Two dogs, two hats, $100 bills, nothing's really special about that. But what makes money different than, say, currency, like the dollar, the yen, the British pound, or anything else, is a long-term store of value. And what did Adam Smith mean by long-term store of value? He described it as when you save your economic energy, when you go to work and you get a wage and you put that wage into something, When you put it into money, that money should hold its value and be worth the same as it is today, buy you the exact same as you can in 5 years, 10 years, or when you leave it as a legacy for your grandchildren or children in 50 or 100 years. Money should maintain its purchasing power. Currency, on the other hand, might hold its purchasing power in the short term. You get $100 a day, you spend it, you get that purchasing power. However, in 5 years, will you be able to buy the exact same thing with that $20 bill, that $100 bill that you could 5 years ago, right? And the answer is no, because currency was designed to steal the wealth of the people. It is a sleight of a hand developed by some economists who are rooted in some socialist ideals, John Maynard Keynes. And as they print currency, it's supply and demand. The more something you have, the less value it has. It's the same thing with currency. So why gold and silver? Because gold and silver protects you from the theft of government and protects your purchasing power over the long term.
Okay. So we were talking last week a little bit about the whole aspect with silver and what is happening. Why are we seeing prices change so rapidly, and is this still a good time for people to think about having some kind of a percentage or portion of their wealth in gold and silver? What's taking place? It's like everything is just going crazy, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, boy, I should have bought something, some gold or silver back in January, early January of this year.
Yeah, it's not too late. I mean, first of all, since gold and silver is money, I feel that when you're saving, you should always allocate a percentage of your savings into gold and silver. It fluctuates because the dollar strengthens and the dollar loses value, and that's what you need to focus on. Gold and silver isn't going up in price. It's a dollar that's rapidly losing its value. And when you factor in not just the amount of inflation, the amount of printing of the currency that the Federal Reserve and Congress are pushing, you also got to factor in geopolitical factors. For example, you have pretty much the entire global East and South joining an organization called BRICS. The BRICS nations are looking to dump the dollar, U.S. treasuries, and start using their own currencies, and they have plans to back their currency with gold and silver. The Western world, the entire world is in a debt crisis. If you look at any charts on the printing of the money supply, they call it money, it's really the printing of the currency supply. It has been exponentially increasing since the great financial crisis of 2008 because of quantitative easing. And because the dollar is the currency of the world, when the Federal Reserve prints billions of dollars, bailing out banks, bailing out companies, bailing out the mortgage industry, the rest of the world to not have their dollars deflate, their currencies deflate against the dollar, means strengthening, because when there's an imbalance between the strength of currencies, it affects exports. So to keep up with the United States, the rest of the world is printing currency and inflating it. And throughout human history, we've had over 6,000 fiat currencies. Fiat means that they're not backed by anything. They're just they're valued because they're legal tender by decree of the government. Fiat is the Latin word for by decree. At all 6,000 fiat currencies throughout human history have reverted back down to its intrinsic value of zero. And the dollar is no different. The euro is no different. And where the dollar is losing value. And then when you add in there, not just the geopolitical issues around the world, the fact that the dollar's been printing, everybody else has been printing and stealing the wealth of the people, you factor in, I got distracted by something outside my window and I lost my train of thought. let's see, the geopolitical, I lost my train of thought. It'll come back to me. This is like a stump speech. I just lost my place. But overall, that's what's going on. The dollar's losing value. You have, that's what it was, uncertainty. So gold and silver has always been a safe haven asset when there's uncertain times. And with the rumors of wars and actual wars going on, and with what's going on in Venezuela and China is threatening even more to attack Taiwan, and the part of the play with Venezuela is to cut off some of China's oil supply is because China uses more oil than they produce in Venezuela. China is Venezuela's number one customer. There's a lot of geopolitical tensions going on right now, and people have always flocked to gold and silver. And I think there's a spiritual reason for that. Gold and silver were put on this earth by God as the true money, a true just weight and measure. And there's something in our psyche that just looks at gold and silver, and we just know there's value there. And that's just what's going on. People are flocking to gold and silver for protection. People are flocking to gold and silver because they're seeing that their savings are eroding. And when gold and silver increase, silver is over 120% in 1 year, less than 1 year, and gold is probably closer to 72-75% growth. That's unprecedented. That is a combination of inflation. That is a combination of fear. That's a combination of geopolitical tensions. And it's just the safe place. So, no, it's not too late to put your economic energy to protect yourself, because whether or not gold and silver fluctuate, if you go look at a chart over 100 years, gold and silver has always kept up with inflation and beaten inflation. Gold more so than silver, and now with silver outpacing gold, it's around the same.
Okay, Daniel, so I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to jump in here because the point that you make is, I think in the news, people hearing this, people are concerned. They see the instability and understand that a paper dollar is there's a lot of debt with our government. But how is this practical? How is it practical? Is that, someone they need to pay their electric bill. How are they going to pay their electric bill with gold? Let's say somebody's putting a percentage of their money into gold or silver. How are they going to make their car payment? How are they going to buy groceries at the grocery store? And does that work? Is anyone doing that? What does that look like? How would someone get started?
Yeah, there are over 4,000 companies in the United States that mom-and-pop shops that are accepting gold backs for the payment of goods and services. Gold backs are the most fractional form of gold. It goes down to 1/2000th of an ounce. It's probably around $4.30 each. And then there's the electronic side, which most people will gravitate to because there are companies like Kinesis, Glint, the UPMA with Alpine Gold that you can deposit cash or send your physical gold, and then they'll tokenize or digitize your gold, or you can convert your cash into gold and silver, and they have debit cards. Alpine Gold and UPMA, you can sell your gold and silver and load it. They're moving towards a debit card that will actually sell when you swipe the card, the gold and silver. Glint and Kinesis. Glint has a debit card right now that you can load up with gold and silver and start spending. I have a Glint card. I have a UPMA card. And Kinesis, I'm in their beta program where they have a debit card where you can spend not just your gold and silver, but Kinesis is a full crypto exchange as well, and not just a gold and silver exchange. So any other digital assets you can attach to your debit card and spend it. So that is how you do it. And then Kinesis is going to be launching a gold and silver bank account attached to their exchange. So everything that you can do with a normal bank, you'll be able to do with Kinesis.
How is Kinesis spelled?
K-I-N-E-S-I-S. It's kinesis.money is their website.
Now, is there any regulation, any oversight? Someone's going, okay, I'm retired or I'm toward retirement years. How safe is this going to be if I put some money into an account like this?
Yeah, so Glint, Kinesis, and Alpine Gold with the UPMA are all insured by Lloyd's of London. They are audited at least twice a year, and that's what you want to look for when you are putting your economic energy, your money into a system like that. So So, yes, they are secure. They are safe.
Okay.
And, sorry, I just had a customer come into my store. So, we're doing this live. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I would say to people that are looking at these systems. Make sure that they're audited and they don't have attestations. An attestation is basically an attorney or CPA saying these people have gold and silver. That is not as strong as an audit, and you want to make sure the auditing firm is a reputable auditing firm that's either AM Best or publicly traded.
Daniel, can you speak to the whole tax situation? If I'm understanding this right, that it's possible at this point to either use these gold bucks, did you call them?
Gold backs.
Gold backs. So this is actually a physical instrument. It sort of looks like a dollar, but it actually has gold value. You said those start at what value at this point?
The half gold back, which is 1/2000th of an ounce, is around $4.30.
Okay. And that changes, right, based upon the value of gold?
Yes, it follows the gold price because it is gold.
Say it is gold, same as like the debit cards would be as well, right? Though that
correct
that fluctuates, yeah. Some. So there is a way to do that. There is insurance. There are insurance policies on these. How would that work though? Let's say if one of these companies went out of business, who gets paid? Does the insurance company pay the investors that have money in it, or is it kind of like a bank where there's just a general policy that covers all of the transactions up to a certain amount?
Yeah, Lloyd's of London actually will replace the gold and silver. If they go out of business, they will actually replace the gold. That's exactly right. It's like FDIC, but in the private sector.
Okay.
And for the tax implications, it depends on the state. That's what our organization does, Citizen Money. We pass the legal tender and sound money legislation in Florida. We help in Texas. I help write the law in Missouri. So there's state taxes. Thankfully, Florida doesn't have any state taxes. We only have a sales tax. And I actually was able to get the sales tax exemption, get rid of all sales tax on gold, silver, platinum, palladium in Florida as of July 1st. So before, if you bought less than $500, you'd have to pay a sales tax. And now you don't. And it really depends on where you live. If your state has income tax, capital gains tax, or sales tax. Federally, though, we're working at the federal level to get rid of capital gains because whether or not the state charges you tax, if you sell gold and silver and you realize a nominal profit in dollars, meaning I like to call the capital gains tax with precious metals the inflation tax because they're taxing you on the loss of the purchasing power of the dollar. We're looking to get rid of that. I've spoken to Congressman Byron Donalds. We've met with Senator Mike Lee. They're looking to push forward to get rid of the capital gains tax at the federal level. So just be cognizant of that. If you're stacking gold and silver and you sell it, you'll have to report it as a capital gain at the federal stacking gold, and it's taxed at the collectibles tax, which I believe is 30%. So there are some nuances. I have a few arguments, but it has to be challenged in court that in a state that's made it legal tender, it's now taxed the nominal income rate versus collectibles rate, but that needs to be tested in court. And, it needs to be somebody who wants to go to court with the federal government. But those are the tax implications, and that's how you really want to figure out if a company's safe or not.
So over the course of a year, if someone had invested back, you were saying silver is over 100%, gold's in the 70s, something like that. And you're depositing, you're taking out, it seems to me it would be kind of difficult to figure out exactly what the percentage of increase would be over that period of time.
Yeah, you would want to. So stackers, they typically keep track of on a spreadsheet what they pay for gold and silver. And that's
okay.
I do that because it's also a planning for the future situation, right? So, as one of my old pastors used to say, 10 out of 10 people die. So you want to make sure that that your family knows and you know the cost basis that you bought the gold and silver. So a good rule of thumb is that they sell logs, like precious metals logs. When you buy precious metals, you keep the receipt, put that down in a log, and then you put it with your will or your trust. So you just keep it for yourself or your CPA. So there is a little bit of work that you need to do when you're buying physical precious metals. When it's digital, like on Kinesis and all that, that's all on there. All the transaction history is on there. So if you're doing digital, it's a lot easier. You just download CVS or the file, or they give you a tax document. But if you're doing physical, you want to keep track of that.
All right. So I see a lot of promotion advertisements, buy your gold, but keep it stored in our safes. It's very safe. Some people want to have it in their hand, I suppose. What is the argument one way versus the other with this?
Well, there's always third party risk when you're using another company. But like I said, you want to make sure that they're audited. You want to make sure that they're insured, that they're reputable. And that they don't use attestations. So an audited company is going to, if they're audited every 6 months, you're going to have a real audit to ensure that they actually have the gold they say they have gold in their vaults or silver. So there's always risk there. And then when you buy a safe, some of the things you want to do is don't tell anybody you have gold.
Right. Don't put any signs out front, right?
Right. Don't advertise that.
Don't brag about it.
Exactly. In the stacker community, a lot of influencers, they don't even show their face. They only show their hands because they don't want to be identified on social media. There are precious metals dealer or precious metals influencers that you don't know their real name. They go like Tiger Stacker, Yankee Stacker, Salivate Stacker. You know, they go by different names. And that's on purpose because it is a threat. If they find out where you live, they find out who you are. They could track you down and even do a home raid. So keep that secret. Don't tell people. Only tell like your family that you really trust, or like I have my best friend. He's going to be the executor of my trust. If something happens to me, he knows. He knows the combination of my safe and everything to help execute the as a trustee of the trust. So, but you definitely want to have a safe, and you want the best safe you can have is a TL-15 or TL-30. That means that it takes 15 to 30 minutes for an advanced thief with machines or torches to break through it. You want to have a security system. You might even want to consider insuring it to protect your assets. But there's also ways. If a safe is a high target for thieves, you might want to decentralize where you store your gold. You might want to put it somewhere where, like, if you have an AC person come, you don't want to put it in your attic. You want to put it in different places. I know a guy that actually buries his gold and silver in his backyard, and he has a little treasure map. So there's definitely risk at home, but me personally, now that I have a coin shop and it's secured and everything, all my stuff is the coin shop. And we have a TL-30 safe. We have a lot of cameras with 24-hour monitoring. So that's like the absolute like Fort Knox situation. I feel like I'm in Fort Knox in my coin shop because every square inch is covered. But at home, secrecy is best. And then being discreet, you can even build a false wall. I know people who build false walls and have their safe in there. You can even put it in the ground or in the ceiling. So there's different ways that you can secure it. But there's always risk because in those instances where you have any Kinesis and whatnot and they go out of business or somebody breaks into their vaults and steals, which is very unlikely, but it has happened in the past, they're insured. At your home, you lose your gold and silver, that's it. You lose it. So you got to be very cognizant of that.
Wow. Well, David and Karen have been sitting here looking very intelligent, and they have not asked any questions at all. So as we're kind of getting close to running out of time, David, what are your thoughts in regards to Daniel? And
what he's saying is intriguing to me. It's not something I've ever considered personally, and we're not rolling in dough, so you know we don't have a lot to invest. But it sounds like that's not really the issue. that you take what you can out of your disposable income and begin to buy the gold, go to one of these companies and begin to build up your treasure, if you will, and then you can attach a debit card to it, I guess. And so that's a thought. I'm still learning.
Still learning. We're still learning, and Karen looks like she has this all figured out. But, Daniel,
that's Karen.
my point of interest in bringing this to our WCNO family is that I believe the way we do business and what we have called money is changing very rapidly. That's my thought. Karen, what's on your mind?
Well, like Dave, you know, I've just never really ever thought of investing or, you know, having anything to do with gold. But I do believe that, as you're alluding to, that, yeah, in the days to come, that it may be something that we need to look into and be investing in gold and doing whatever we can to protect ourselves and take care of what is precious to us.
There we go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Daniel, you're talking about stackers, you know, so, you know, I'm not sure that our listeners know what a stacker is, you know.
Yeah,
help us out.
A stacker is somebody who buys gold and silver, and then they stack the coins and the bars on top of each other. It's just a term
okay.
that people use.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, the derogatory term for a stacker is a gold and silver bug. Gold and silver bug. But we like using stacker instead.
I like that.
Yeah, because it just sounds better.
Yeah, it does.
So because gold and silver bugs, until recently, a lot of people thought they were conspiracy theorists and tinfoil hat wearers and everything, right?
And that's where
the bug came from. But with everything that's been happening in the last few years, the entire sound money movement has been vindicated. We're passing laws. We're making gold and silver legal tender. And it's becoming more mainstream. It's being talked about across all the news stations and financial stations. So that's what a stacker is.
Hmm. All right, Dave, you look like you had a thought on the tip of your finger there.
I was, well, you know, you sort of answered it. But, you know, when people hear about things you're talking about, Daniel, and some people will say, well, that's just a fad, right? It's coming, it's here, but it's going to go away, like a lot of other things
people get.
Over and against that claim that what you're talking about is a fad, how would you respond to that?
I wouldn't say it's a fad. Gold and silver has been money for 6,000 years. What's a fad is the dollar.
Well, I guess the process of gaining wealth through gold and silver, the mechanisms that are in place today are unique to our time, and some people haven't ever done it that way, and they're saying, well, you know, they don't relate to it. But the way you're addressing this, the information you've given us, great deal of substance there. There's a lot of people involved in this. This is not something that's a flash in the pan. In other words, it's something that's growing every day in terms of its intensity, its value, and its construct.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for those people who are saying that we're in modern times, the intent was, look, the root of it is government.
Mm-hmm.
The government doesn't like being constrained. And I'll ask you guys a question. When throughout human history has the government ever decreased its own power and influence? Never. It's only looked to increase its influence and power. And they do not like their power to be constrained. And that's exactly what gold and silver does. It constrains the spending and the influence of the federal government or any government. So when they got off the gold and silver standard, it's because they went to war and they couldn't fund their wars. And prior to the current economic system, the people had to consent to pay war bonds or even pay taxes to fund the war. Now, because there is no constraints on spending and there is no constraints, you have welfare programs, you have endless wars. This whole fiat system is really a power grab, and it was designed to steal the wealth of the people because the governments do not want to be constrained in their spending. And then they used this unlimited amount of spending and power to bribe the populace. When people realize they can vote in a paycheck, that's what they do. But they don't understand economics. And gold and silver is honest and true money. It constrains not just the government, but also constrains the individual, because there is limited credit. There's limited currency.
Excellent. Thank you, Daniel.
Well, the fact that now you can have a debit card to use, have access to your resources, and I know there, my point's always going to be, I've got a mortgage payment coming up. You know, I got to be able to make my mortgage payment, and at this point, I do that through my bank and with dollars. But the fact that there are new accessible means by which the common person can actually have their wealth backed up by gold and silver and still utilize it with a debit card, that gives usability to it. And that to me has been the real question, because over the years, from the time I was a kid, I, you know, would hear of this family, that family, they were looking to buy a quarter bag, a half bag, a bag of silver or something. Mm. And then when it came around to where they needed some money, they didn't know how to sell it, how to actually get the value out of it, because sometimes they just were not aware enough of the way the whole system works. So things are changing. I know you're very involved in the state of Florida, and this is a new day. It's a new day. Things are definitely changing in our nation and in the world.
Absolutely.
Now, a debit card like that you're talking about, that's a card that could be used basically anywhere in the world, pretty much, couldn't it?
Anywhere Visa or MasterCard is taken, correct.
Okay.
They wouldn't know the wiser, because what you're doing is you're selling your gold and silver at that in a split second, and then it remits fiat currency to the merchant.
Okay. And someone that has direct deposit could have a payroll directly deposited into an account like this, right?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Well, Daniel, we're almost out of time. What else do you have just in closing? We want to give your contact information again. So for people that are looking to be better educated in this area and are interested in connecting with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can email me at citizensoundmoney@citizens4soundmoney.org, or they can call our toll-free number, 877-749-1776, 877-749-1776. Or if they want to come check out some gold and silver, I just opened up a coin shop in Sebastian, Florida. They can go to 1128 U.S. Highway 1 in Sebastian, Florida, or then call our number at 954-834-3429, 954-834-3429. The name of the store is Sovereign Gold and Silver Exchange.
All right, very good. Daniel, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on again.
And God bless you with your opening of your store.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thanks. Thanks, brother.
And Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you also. Blessings.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Rejoice, lift up your eyes, and send your fears away. Salvation's born today. Jesus the God, whom angels fear, comes down to dwell with you, but not like rulers do. Swaddling bands, no royal shiny things for me.
And Karen, this is a test. Who was that?
That was the one and only Steve Camp.
One and only Steve Camp. One and only Steve Camp. That is absolutely right. Dave, do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that.
we have some more Emmanuel, of his music as well, Emmanuel. Tune. Steve is right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida, a great brother, friend, pastor. And he is on the mend. I'm looking forward to having him back in studio. Boy, he and his wife both had a very challenging year, but God is restoring their strength. And so we thank God for you, Steve. And thank you so much for your ministry. Want to welcome John Nelson to our program today. John, welcome.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody?
Alive and well.
Yep. We're here.
You know, the question I have is, has everybody been naughty or has everybody been nice? Because, you know, we're close to the king's birthday.
Well, we certainly are. I've been very nice, I think. Yeah.
Very nice.
I have too. Yes. Jonathan's been nice.
All right. Just know that, you know, he knows.
John, you know what the standard is. Even a cup of cool water given in my name, you know, whatever we've done to the least of these, and that's what I love about you. You're out here on the front line. And you're loving the least of these and anybody else that God gives you an opportunity to. Let's start with the trip that's going to be taking place. You've got a bunch of kids heading south.
On December 29th, it's going to be our 11th year going down to the Miami Heat Stadium. We have a big bus, and you had met the owners of Coastal. They were in the studios. Wonderful, wonderful people. And brand-new buses. Got about 55 of us going on that. And then Project Lift, who I just love what they do with troubled teens, teaching them a trade and getting them through high school. We gave them 30 tickets, and then we purchased a few more to fill our bus because not everybody goes on the bus. And it's just going to be a wonderful time. You know, we're able to fill it up and we're able to pay it off. And it's just such a blessing to go down there and see these kids and these young adults and these moms and dads that don't have the money to do this stuff go down there and enjoy the trip down. Miami's a beautiful city to see. It's all lit up. you know, the Heat let us go down on the court afterwards and shoot a basket. And then, like, last year they started letting us go in the back and meet a couple of the players. So the kids really, 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 you know, it's really an experience. And most families can't afford this stuff. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, it is not cheap to go to a stadium event. I was just talking to a friend of mine. He took six to the Dolphins game. It was $1,000.
Wow.
You know, tickets for the Miami Dolphins, well, Heat aren't so bad, but the Dolphins, we used to do bus trips, and it's just, it's out of our reach.
So, John, I know some of our listeners, they don't know anything at all about John Nelson or Families Recover. Who are you, and why do you do what you do?
You know, Families Recover is 13 years old. We're a 501c3. We started out as Families Against Drunk Driving. We had some personal stuff. As soon as the heroin and opioid epidemic took off, Jenny and I and a few other people really prayed about it. And we said, you know what? We need a name that really describes what's going on out there. And, you know, there's addiction and mental illness and just a whole gamut. It really is a family disease. It really costs the family. So that's what we took on, that name. And we've been running with that for quite a while now. And it's just such a blessing. You know, there's heartbreaks. You guys know my story with my wife, and we don't need to go into that because we have limited time. But, you know, we try our best to get people off the streets, and the success rate's terrible. You know, it's maybe 1.5 out of 10 end up staying. Maybe 5 out of 10 come back in off the streets eventually. And then we're burying 330 a day to fentanyl overdose. So, you know, it's a losing battle. And I really went through it the last couple of weeks. We lost a couple people that had time. And I take it a little too personal, but I don't take it too personal. You know, a lot of people, you guys know my background. A lot of people helped me restart my life 20 times.
Wow.
So, you know, when you reach out to somebody that's down and out and they're looking at you and they're saying, why would you help? And you said this earlier on, the least.
Yeah.
The least aren't the least. The least can become mighty warriors.
Right.
And if you really want to get into the Old Testament, which I am not a scholar by any means, he took people that really nobody thought would ever be the leaders they became.
There's hope for us, John.
There's hope, you know, and that's the Amen. One thing that we really just instill. And I had people, you know, I'm big in AA, and this ain't a plug for AA. It works for me. There's many other roads to recovery approaching me about some of the things that we are doing street level. And I just looked at them. I said, this is a non-AA entity. You know, I'm a sober coach. I'm a trauma coach. We have females like Kellyanne, which you guys know well, and many others that are out there. Once we get somebody off the streets, if it's a female, we immediately try to get them into counseling with females. You know,
right,
it just makes
right.
Because things can go hokey.
Yep.
You know, and even a good pastor, they move it over to a female, or they have a female in the room. I mean, you really got to be careful.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But, that's
you know, we're in a time
accountability.
We're in a time of great revival with the Charlie Kirk thing. I just hope that we stay on that path, because this country, you know, people don't understand it, but Sharia law has already taken effect in a lot of different districts. Last election alone, they have voted in 37 Muslims around the country. You know, this is what Allah said, and I'm not a Bible scholar there either, or with a Quran. He said, I won't have to fire a shot. We'll take you over by sheer number. And that's what they've done in Europe, where the average family, a white family, black family, Chinese family, have maybe one or two kids. They move into an area and have six kids.
Right.
So what happens 20 years down the road? You're populated. And we're seeing that all over the United States. But I was listening to the 89.9 earlier today, and a pastor, I can't remember which one, my head's spinning because I'm trying to get some houses done for Christmas. And he said this, we can be elbow to elbow, but the church, this is key right here, the church needs to start preaching more powerful.
Yes.
The church. People need to be witnessing to these Muslims, because Muslims will convert.
They need Jesus, just like I do.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, Dearborn, Michigan, which is 20 minutes from where I grew up, they just beat up a street pastor and beat him up. Told him don't come back. they want to put the prayer horns on the top of buildings in the United States of America. And it's happening in many places. You know, instead of us being fearful, and this is what he went on to say, instead of us being fearful of that, why don't we trust the power in God's word? Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I got a 10-month-old granddaughter, and she has just taken over my head. She's taken my heart over.
She
has just given me a light that I haven't had in a long time. And yes, people listening, even Christians and sober people have bad days. Mm. You know, we just know how to navigate them. But, you know, it's being able to spread the word in a way, and it's not even sometimes talking. One thing I've learned with working with people on the streets is I can't bash them with the Bible. I can't bash them with AA, but I can sure as heck bash them with loving kindness.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and people don't realize, you might be hearing all this syndicated news of all the people that own these stations, TV stations that are owned by the left that are keep on saying this, this, and the other thing. As many Muslims will convert as many Christians. It's all how we handle it. You know, right. And that's what I'm calling on the pastors. You know, we're going to church on Christmas Eve. I'm taking the baby with me. I'm so excited about that. And, you know, I hope the message is this. We need to unite. We need pastors to quit being babies on the pulpit worried about paying the bills and start preaching what God told them to preach. And you know, that's one of the things that I wrapped the show up with today. And I totally agree with him. You know, it ain't a hellfire brimstone message. That don't work. And like I said, I'm no scholar. I'm so blessed. You know, I've had some really rough days. I go to Tampa for my heart 3 times next month. But, you know, I know God's kept me on this planet for 7.5 years.
Amen. It's not
still being able to breathe, yeah. Needing a heart transplant. And I have bad days. I have really bad days. But you know what? I try to show an attitude of gratitude. And people are like, how can you keep smiling? I know where I'm going.
Amen.
I know where I'm going. You know, and on the 29th, we're going to go down to Heat Stadium. We could still use a couple $1,000s. We are reworking our donate page and our QR code. You know, we did have some generous people come in and make sure it was covered. But you got to realize, it costs us money to advertise on WCNO. It costs us money to run the internet. I don't take a paycheck. Kelly don't take a paycheck. We don't even try to cover our expenses. I mean, usually when we do events, they're out of our own pocket. But it's a labor of love. And you guys in that studio know what I'm talking about.
We do.
And there's many people listening right now that are saying, why do it for free? It ain't free. Man, saving a life. There is nothing and more important than getting someone back out of the drink.
Yeah.
You know, 38 arrests in the prison, 8 out of dumpsters. I'm not ashamed of that today. You know, God's transformed my life into something that is, my neighbors have no clue. You know, they think I'm a normal guy that takes too much pride in his life.
Right.
Is that a sin? I just want a nice lawn.
There you go.
There ain't much to ask, is it? Tell my son when he drives on it.
Yeah, right. Stay off the yard, right?
You know, and this is my message of, you know, it's Christmas time, and it, you know, I don't know when his actual birth date was, but you know, we all know that we celebrate it, and it's celebrated around the world, and it's not, and this ain't about presents. You know, I watch so many people who overcompensate. I'm going to tell you what I found in addiction, and this is a fact. Our kids want our time. Our kids want our attention. Our kids want us to go out and throw a baseball with them. You know, PlayStations and iPhones and all that is great. But at the end of the day, when I talk to a lot of families, man, all they want is their mom and dad to be in their life. And, you know, unfortunately, it costs so much to live here. Most parents are working, and they're not spending the time with the kids. And if that's making somebody feel convicted right now, I hope so. You know, get them off the games. Get something fun. Family. You know, Jesus said to go after the children, right?
Got to do it.
So, I mean, I don't know if this makes any sense. I had a really rough week. We lost a couple people, and it breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine how Jesus felt.
Yes.
When he looked over and everybody was sleeping.
Yeah.
How about this? Right. When he was hanging on the cross.
Yeah.
who didn't show up.
Yeah.
You know, we're very needy people, you know, and if hug your kids. You know, I have a relationship with my kids that just blows me away. Because there wasn't a time where I couldn't even see my kids. Now, that's a long time ago, thank God. And that's what we, Families Recover, is here to help you in court. We can go to court with you. We can get you through the DCS situations. You know, we've learned through people like Eula Clark, who used to be the mayor. She took her time to teach me family law, and that's how I ended up getting my own kids without a lawyer.
Wow.
I'm not a scholar. I quit school in fifth grade. I mean, I pretty much left at eighth grade. And that's not something to brag about, because that made me become a quitter. You know, running Italian restaurants for some pretty notorious people. You know, I thought I knew everything because I had money in my pocket. I didn't know anything. The good news is I've been redeemed.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That is the good news.
And that's what we preach with the people.
That's
once
it.
They start getting some time under their belt and they get their licenses fixed. Last year, we gave away 5 cars. You know, people have to have a car to navigate in our county. I mean, it's just what it is. You can't, how do you get them to school? How do you get them the jobs? Blah, 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 blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
You know, we are blessed enough to be able to do that. You know, and that's our mission. Redemption. This, you know, a lot of people talk about the 12-step programs, which came out of the Bible. It's a program of restoration. The church should be a place to fix the broken, a place of restoration. What does that mean? How about restoring the family?
Right.
How about restoring a home? How about restoring your heart?
Right.
Right? A lot of people don't see it as that. And that's, I just seen two guys pick up a year this year, this week, over at the hall. And I watched this one guy who was a veteran from Afghanistan, and he's seen it. Kuwait. I kid you not. This guy was torn apart by demons for the first 6 months of that. Hearing things, seeing things, and we knew it wasn't there.
Right.
He was convinced they were there. And he just shared a story of hope the other day, a year sober. That's what I live for. I want to see people make it. And
Amen.
You guys want to see people
Amen.
Make it.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and that's why this radio station needs the biggest we can get. You people over in Sewell's Point, write them a check. You know, how many times this year did people from syndicated radio shows want to come by 89.9? They want the voice shut off because
right.
the devil wants us to be quiet.
That's right.
And hopefully
right.
that never happens. I got a new angle we're going after this year. Dennis Fano is a lawyer in town. His family has been here for a very long time. And we're going to do a fishing tournament with them because they're avid fishermen. But he's going to come on, and we're going to try to do some angles for the rights for people that are being taken advantage of in treatment centers. The abuse in the treatment center industry with MAT treatment, which is medical assisted, which this really became about in the last 10 years, 15 years, you know, they need God to be restored. They don't need Suboxone or methadone. You know, they get them in these treatment centers and they convince them that they got to be on these medications. You brought them in to get off a pill and you want to put them on a pill. So, you know, we're going to start looking at that and just trying to even the playing field a little bit. You know, Dave Ehrenberg, we were a part of that years ago, Sober Home Task Force with a lot of other great people. But there's a lot of bad players. You know, money can go both ways when it comes to the heart. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
you're right.
The money that some of these places charge per month, 30, 50, 100. I know I toured one in Malibu. It was $250,000 a month. They had
wow.
surf lessons.
Wow.
Yeah. Personal chefs. You know, we don't get rewarded for having this a life over. I'm not saying you should be treated bad, but having lobster for dinner when your kids are starving is not the path. But anyway, we're excited about Dennis and the things that they can help us with, because I'm not a legal expert by any means.
Well, that's great.
So that's about it, guys.
That's great.
I mean, we just, you can tell I'm all revved up. I'm helping my son finish a bathroom over in Club Med that has just been like, you ever had a toothache? This is like a toothache that you got fixed and it came back.
Yeah, you got to get it done. Got to get her done. Get her done. John, I want you to sort of bring us to a close today. But first, again, you're getting ready to take a number of families, a lot of kids down to Miami Heat. You could still use some additional resources, a few thousand dollars. How can people give again?
They can go on www.familiesrecover.org. There is a donate button. Also, I want to put out there, money's great, but we do have four tickets that I'm actually giving away to a family that need. They want to spoil their kids. They want to do something. We're going to give them four tickets on the bus. Try to come up with some spending cash. So they